It's always weird when your routine gets thrown off a little bit. Just being over here feels so weird. Well, welcome. He is risen. What a joyful day. You may notice we've got no scriptures up there. And I'm just going to let you in on what's going on in my heart and mind here. It's been an interesting week for me preparing. I like to be very prepared and organized and ready and have everything down. And, well, I did that, and I did not like at all what I had. And doing that, I also felt like, and I don't know if this is me or God. I hope it's God, because if not, we're all in trouble. But I was feeling like God was wanting me to kind of just go for it. I have a passage, so don't worry about that. You know, this isn't the book of Seth here, but we're going to be in John chapter 20. And I do have notes, but I'm choosing not to look at them. And we're just going to see what happens. Well, don't rejoice yet. This could be terrible. But yeah, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. So we're going to be in John chapter 20. And as I was studying, I do feel like this is a passage the Lord wanted me to preach on. How much of it, I guess we'll find out. But before we start, I was struggling to have peace this week. Did anybody else struggle sometimes to have peace? Does anybody else need peace?
Amen.
Amen. We need peace. Whether we're struggling, you have a long day at work, right? A long day at school, just a long day of life, a long week or month or year of life, decade. We all go through stuff. We all have stuff going on in our lives, and we need peace. I think that's a common need, but it's hard to find, I think, a lot of times. And I don't know about you guys, but I think we try to find it, I try to find it, in places where you don't actually end up getting it, right? You go home, you're like, man, I'm so worn out, I need peace, and you sit down in front of the TV. Or, man, I'm so worn out, I need peace, I'm going to take a drink. Man, I need peace, I'm so worn out, I'm going to read the news. Oh, big mistake, right? Our world needs peace.
Yeah.
We need peace individually. Our country needs peace. Our world needs peace. And that is what God has offered us through the gospel and through his resurrection, is peace. John 20, verse 19 says, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And I pray that you would sanctify us in your truth right now. And we do pray, come Holy Spirit, you are the risen Savior. You're alive, Lord. You didn't stay on that cross. You didn't stay in that tomb. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty, and you're seated at the right hand of majesty on high. You are the true and living God, and I pray that you'd reveal yourself here to us today. You'd speak to us, and you'd show us the peace that you have for us. Whether we know you or not, you offer that to us. Each one of us. It's ours for the taking in Jesus' name. Amen. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, Sunday, that stood out to me that it was evening. Because earlier that day, what had happened? Jesus had risen from the dead. He had revealed himself to the ladies at the tomb. They had come and told the disciples that he had risen from the dead, but they didn't believe. Then two guys walking on the road to Emmaus saw the Lord, and they came and told him, and they still didn't believe. This was happening all day that day. But even before that, what happened? Thursday, 3 days beforehand, the disciples had all deserted Jesus and fled. After telling him, "We'll never deny you. We'll never leave you. We'll go to death with you." Peter was the ringleader in that, but they all said the same thing, the scripture says. But only a couple hours later, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas comes up, betrays him with a kiss, with the guards, they all fled and deserted him, it says. That was Thursday. Friday, the only one to see him crucified is John, maybe Peter. But Jesus is crucified. He's killed. He dies on the cross. And it's a brutal death that he faced. And they are in hiding together. And they have to go through that knowing that their leader, I can't imagine this. I was just thinking about this. They spent 3 years with this guy. Jesus completely transformed these guys' lives. They were fishermen. They were tax gatherer, Matthew. They were doing different things, right? Jesus brought this hodgepodge group together. He totally transformed their lives. He said, "Leave everything, follow me." And they did it. And for 3 years, they lived with him. They ate with him. They slept with him. They did life with him. And this is Jesus, the perfect man, the sinless man. There was no one who ever loved like Jesus loved. There was no one who ever made you feel like you belonged like he did. No one who ever understood the very depths of who you were. I mean, in every conversation, it was probably like, "Oh my gosh, how do you know me like this? What do you see in me? How do you love people like this?" I mean, can you imagine walking with God in the flesh for 3 years? They walked with him, and they believed he was the Christ, the fulfillment of the scriptures, that he came, and they believed he was the coming king to sit on the throne of David. They had so much hope and expectation wrapped up in who he was and what he was going to do. And then they denied him, and they fled, and he was killed. And they're just sitting with that. And not only that, but if they killed their leader, they killed their Lord, they killed their master, what's to stop the Jews and the Romans from coming and wiping them all out for the same thing? Sedition, for conspiracy against Caesar, or whatever excuse they would cook up. They were afraid. They were grieving. They were mourning. They were ashamed. They were overwhelmed with emotion. All day Friday. All day Saturday. And then some things start happening Sunday. But because of their feelings and their emotions, they can't even begin to comprehend or understand what's going on or believe these people. They're like, "You are nuts." And they're still sitting in this. That's verse 19. When therefore it was evening on that day. 3 days, the first day of the week. And when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Oh my gosh, that must have been nuts. I was thinking, why did he say "peace be with you" first? Well, there's a very obvious reason, right? The guy that you just knew was crucified and dead and buried is all of a sudden right there in front of you. That must have been so shocking and so mind-blowing and scary even, right? So he had to say, like, "Hold on, guys, be calm down. I'm not a ghost, right? I'm not a spirit." We know from the other Gospels, he said, "Touch me, okay? You're not going to go through me. I'm flesh and bone." And he ate a fish. He's like, "I can eat. You know, I'm solid. I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. It's me." So that's the very obvious reason, right? Peace. Because I would have been freaking out. But there's another reason that he said this to him. Because they had a problem just like, I hear that crunching. Jesus with the fish, right? They had a problem just like we all have a problem. And that problem started back in the Garden of Eden. God made man and woman, right? In his image, that's what Scripture says. He made us for a purpose. He made us that we would have relationship with him. And man, that is so distracting. It's all right. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Oh, peace, peace. Back in the garden, he made man and woman in his image, and he made us for a purpose. He made us to have a relationship with him. When he made man on the sixth day, it was the pinnacle of creation, right? He made us with the ability to choose free will. And he said, from any of the trees of the garden you can eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Because in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. We've all heard this story, right? But what I want to point out is that what Genesis says about them in the garden, it says that they walked with God in the cool of the day. They had a relationship with God. And they could see him face to face. They could talk with him. That's amazing. They had peace with God. But then came that day when the serpent, Satan, tempted Eve, and Adam and Eve both ate of the fruit, and they sinned. They disobeyed God. They broke his law. And as a result, when they sinned, that relationship was broken. And we no longer had peace with God. So when Jesus comes and tells them, peace be with you, he's doing more than just saying, don't freak out, I'm not a ghost, right? He's saying, guys, I did it. I did what God promised from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve fell in the curse, he made a promise. He said, from your seed, right, will come one who will crush the head of the serpent and break that curse and overcome the power of sin and death and make a way that we can be forgiven our sins and have our relationship with God restored and have peace with God. That's what Scripture says, that while we were his enemies, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He took our place on the cross. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And that's what he's telling them. Peace be with you. You've got it now. I did it. Which is why in the next verse in John 20, in verse 20, he says, when he had said this, he says, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. He's saying, peace be with you. And guess what? Here's the proof. I was nailed to the cross. I was pierced. I fulfilled the scripture. Psalm 22, they'll pierce him, right? Isaiah 53, was pierced for their transgressions, crushed for their iniquities. But the chastising for our well-being fell upon him. By his scourging, we are healed. And it says, the disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And I think there's depth there too. Obviously, they were happy to see the Lord, right? Oh my gosh, you're not dead. You're alive, just like you said you would be. You're not dead. You're alive. Of course, that's cause for rejoice when they saw him. But before that, it says that he showed him his hands and his side. And when therefore they saw the Lord, what he really came to do. Remember, they had all those expectations. They had all those hopes. They had all those dreams and desires, what they thought it was going to look like, that physical kingdom set up on the earth to set them free from the oppression of Rome. And you know what? That is coming. His kingdom here on earth, with him ruling on a throne in Jerusalem, in Israel, over the whole world, that is coming. But it's not yet. First, he had to do an eternal thing, which was to free us all from sin and death, to pay the price for sin, to purchase forgiveness for us, that we could have that relationship with God restored and we could have peace with God. Peace be with you. And here it is, you guys. I did it. And when they saw the Lord, they rejoiced because it wasn't just that he was alive. It's because that he's alive, they're alive. Because he has life, we have life when we believe in his name and what he did on the cross and his sacrifice for death. When they saw the Lord, they rejoiced. And Jesus therefore said to them again, what? Peace be with you. Because of what I did, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. I think there's something else here about this peace beyond just don't be afraid, I'm not a ghost, and even beyond the message of the gospel that Jesus came. Even from the very beginning, remember when he came at Christmas, it says the angels said, peace in heaven or on earth, right? That was the whole point of his coming, from his birth all the way through his death. He accomplished that. But I think there's more here to this peace. Like we were talking about at the beginning, what were these guys going through for the last 3 days? The emotion. You know, as I was reading this, it made me think about my dad died when I was 16. And afterward, for a while, I would have these dreams that he didn't actually die, that he had gone away on a long trip and came back. Or sometimes I would have a dream that he had died, but God allowed him to come back for a time. And I can tell you, the emotions were weird. It was overwhelming in those dreams, a mixture of emotions. There would be, like, I was anger, you know? Like, where were you? Where have you been all this time? And why'd you miss so much? But also relief. You know, you're not really dead. And the sense of, like, just knowing his presence again. And I know it sounds weird, but the smell, you know, and the sound of his voice. I know it was only 3 days, but these guys lived with Jesus for 3 years. They had an intimate relationship with him, and he was like no one else they ever met or ever could meet. Imagine the flood of emotions they felt when he was there with them, in front of them. And like that song we sang about Peter, it's so powerful because it's so relatable. And we all need peace with God through the gospel. But once we've believed, I feel like God offers us peace, but so often we don't take it. This week, that was true of me. And preparing for this sermon, I was not at peace. And unfortunately, it came out in me being kind of irritable and snappy toward my wife. But how often in our lives do we have circumstances that we're facing, whether it be relationships, a marriage relationship, a romantic relationship, family relationships, whether it be at work, and work relationships, health issues, sin in our lives. We have a lot of things that come at us and it disrupts our lives and we do not have peace. But we go to other things for it. Or we just keep going. We just keep putting one foot in front of the other, but we have no peace. But Jesus was saying to the disciples, in everything that you just went through these last 3 days and everything you're going to face, peace be with you. Not only am I not a ghost, this isn't a figment of your imagination. I am real. I'm the same Jesus that was crucified. You can see it in my body. And not only do you have peace with God the Father, but I will offer to you peace every single day. All you have to do is come to me for it. Because I am risen. I am alive forevermore. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, the right hand of majesty on high. And he has all authority. All authority has been given to him over heaven and earth. And he is the Alpha and the Omega. And in him, all things consists, right? He holds everything together by the word of his power. And everything was made through him and for him and by him. He's the risen Christ. They got a glimpse of that, right, on the Mount of Transfiguration. They got to see him in his kingdom, and they're like going to make an altar. Well, here he is now in his resurrected body. Later, John gets to see him in all of his glory in Revelation, where he falls before him like a dead man. Jesus is saying, this is who I am, you guys. I am alive. I'm risen forevermore. And I offer you peace day to day, every moment of your life. Whenever you need it, you just got to come to me. And as the Father sent me, now I send you. And I think it is earlier in John, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And he'll be with you. And he is the helper. He's the comforter who gives you peace. And here in John, we see that happen. When they rejoice, he says, therefore to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Here's how I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to live inside of you by my Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? The Spirit of the risen Christ is living inside us when we believe in him. And one of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. We have peace with God, and we can have peace every moment of our lives. It's accessible to us, but we've got to accept it and receive it by faith in his name. He's the one that offers it, and we have to go to him for it, not anything else. Receive the Holy Spirit. And he sent them. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. That's our calling, you guys, as Christians. It's not just to be saved. It's not just to have peace with God and then enjoy it. That's part of it, and I encourage you to do that. But it's also to let others know that they too can have peace with God, that they too can be forgiven, that they too can have their relationship that God intended from the beginning when he made man. They can have that relationship restored, and they can live in fullness of life in his name. Before I end, I want to go to this, which is Thomas, right after this. Because he says with all this, he does all this, but who's not there? Thomas. It says in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Doubting Thomas, we call him. The disciples were just doing what Jesus had already just said to them, right? As the Father has sent me, I send you. The disciples were like, all right, we saw the Lord. Thomas, you should, of all people, believe, right? I will not believe unless I see. And he said, after 8 days again, his disciples were inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. There it is again. Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. And I imagine there are some people here today who have not believed. And like Thomas, maybe you're saying to God, I've heard it, but unless I see, I will not believe. With Thomas, he was gracious, and he revealed himself. And God is gracious to us. And if we ask him, I believe he will reveal himself to us. But there's a story in Luke 16. It's kind of a parable, kind of not, of the rich man and Lazarus. You guys probably know this one. The rich man got everything good in life. The poor man was begging for scraps at his gate. Didn't get anything, had sores. They both die. The poor man ends up in Abraham's bosom. The rich man is in Hades in torment. And there's this exchange between the rich man and Abraham. He's saying, oh, come over here, have that Lazarus give me some water because I'm in agony in this flame and I'm thirsty. He says, we can't. He says, well, then send him to my brothers and my father. Tell them to warn them. But he said, well, they have the Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He says, the rich man says, no, Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll believe. And he says, no. If they don't believe the scriptures, they won't believe even if someone rises from the dead. You've heard the gospel. I would encourage you, stop waiting for a sign. And stop being like Thomas saying, unless I see, if you won't believe the word, you won't believe even if someone comes to you from the dead. And guess what? He did. He did come to us from the dead. He's risen. It's time to believe. Be not unbelieving, but believing. And I think sometimes we do this as Christians too, right? God, you say this, you say this. We believe it. We mentally assent to it. But then we live as practical atheists. Our lives don't really show it. We act as if it's not true. God says he'll provide, and we worry about money, and we stress about it. God says, I'll give you the words to say, and we toil about preparing a sermon, right? In my example. There's a lot of examples, but we live this way. We don't believe because we want to see something first. But God wants us to take a step in faith and believe. And when we do that, when we trust him in faith, we'll get that peace. Thomas, peace be with you. So yeah, that's what I got. I just encourage you, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, please believe and be at peace with him. And for us who do know the Lord, you guys, we can have peace. But we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to stop going to our own devices. We've got to stop trying to pursue other things for peace. Because he's the only one that can really give peace. Amen? Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the resurrection. Amen. And that your resurrection is the proof, it's the validation that what you said, what you taught, what you did, it was truth. And you are who you say you are. You are God. And you are the Savior. You're the Messiah. And you told us and your disciples that it's what was written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead, and that forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, that we would have peace with God. But more than that, that you ever lived to make intercession for us, Lord. You're constantly interceding for us. And you offer to us peace every moment, every day, but we have to come to you. We have to believe. We have to accept it. We have to receive it. We've got to ask you for it, Lord. We've got to meet you. And I pray, Lord, that whoever needs peace here today, if they need it with you, that they would believe and receive and be born again and be given new life and have a relationship with you, their creator and their maker. For those of us who know you and have done that already, but who still need peace, I pray that they could experience your peace in a way that they've never had before. Because you yourself are our peace. And you said, peace I give to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. I pray that we could receive that and experience that, and that your peace would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to finish up in worship.